sign Monday that has been given to us. We are going to looking at the agenda. We have three entities and the documents, honorable members, have been given to us. Before we start with our meeting, we would like to welcome a new honorable member in this A team. Honorable member, you've joined an A team. The Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture is an A team. You are joining members who are hardworking, members who even take an extra mile in the work that they are doing, members who conduct oversight without fear or favor. And a team that knows that nothing is about us, but everything is about the people that we are serving. Members who understand that we are not about service delivery, but we are about serving the people of South Africa. I would like to ask Honorable Mahlangu to welcome you to this meeting. Over to you, Honorable.
Sure, thank you. I guess it would be fair that then we, before I do the honors, that we introduce the portfolio members. Sorry? Okay. Should I start with the learned friends, doctors, because she's also a doctor, or should I start with the the seated on the chair is Tom Chorizo Tom, who is the chair of the committee. In front of me, my Mosolevi Smoking. At my back, Umakondo Thomas. My name is Jabo Mahlangu. Vilangulu is the lady seated in front of in this chair. Ulane Mokosi seated next to you. Dr. Nolo on your right. Dr. Huibuong on the front. We have one member who is not here, Ndatola Hutapi, who is the two. Baba Huibuong is a member of the PA, Ramutapi is also a member of the PA, they are permanent members here. Baba Melos is a member of the EFF Club. FF Club. Apologies,
Baba. We don't fight, we don't argue.
We have we are supposed to be having an EFF member, but they actually don't quite attend. But at one stage I was told that the Gwyneth is not there. But we never received any report to that effect. It was just because I was doing an informal inquiry as to why where is he, and actually we should actually make an effort to call him so that we know. And then sitting on the other side, obviously, they introduced themselves, these are officials of the department. Dr. Nkuba Mashum, Lamin Zuma, welcome to the committee. I guess Chair, the honorable member has been in the system since the advent of democracy, so she almost knows all the buttons and knows the setup in the parliamentary precinct, but as a contingent of arts and culture, we are very blessed to have her in our midst as part of the committee. She is here as an alternate member in the we know that she comes with a lot of value, a lot of experience, having served this government in many ministries. Health, at some point, Home Affairs, when Home Affairs was turned around to be what it is. I think they got a key point the last time, if I'm not wrong. Very huge entity that finally got the key point. So credit to her. And I just will be making a comment later on the asset management of Home Affairs, which I find exciting when our entities are actually not performing at that level. Remember, I mean, the chairperson, first chair of the AU, quite the formidable work carried out. And I think we hope that she can, you know, there are speculations in the media, coming in, going up. But we wish we could spend more time with her, because I think we can only be better with the kind of experience that she's bringing to the fold. For us, as the constituent of the ANC, having an ANC member is always the best thing that we would want to have. We never had one. So it's the first time we have an ANC member. But just as you have been introducing, Chair, we are a very hardworking committee, colleague, when we work, there are no parties in this committee. It's the only committee that does not espouse a party political position. We actually espouse the interest of South Africa. And I think that's what we find here. Actually, when we work, when we go out to places where people don't know us, they can't differentiate as to, they actually think we are all ANC members. That's how we work, because we do not protect. You know, there's a notion that says ANC members are going to protect the executive. So there we take the glass off, and the wrong is wrong, and the right is right. And we mean it, and it's what we believe in, and I think collectively that's how we face it. And so welcome to the team. Thank you, sir.
Welcome, honourable member. We are very glad to have you in our committee. We're now going to look at the agenda. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, members. Good morning, everyone. We have one standing apology, Chair, for Dr. Esther Hazen, who's in another committee meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really a standing apology. It seems as if there's nothing we can do about it. We accept the apology. And the agenda is in front of us, honourable members. We have matters arising, and then minutes, and we have presentations from PACOP and Robben Island, and lastly, Pan South African Language Board. Can I propose that we not deal with the minutes today, because from last week's experience, we had the whole day last week, and the discussion took longer than anticipated. And there's no way you can anticipate how the discussions are going to, how long discussions are going to take. And as members, we are here for oversight, and oversight is about asking questions. So I can't cut members short because we're looking at the time. Members would ask as many questions as they want. So you need to be prepared for that. We are asking questions. That's the work that we are paid to do. And I would suggest that we don't do the minutes today. We do the minutes on Thursday and on Tuesday next week. Are you agreeable, members, to that? Thank you, honourable members. The amendments arising then, like the, if you remember, last week we raise an issue of this fruitless expenditure in all entities of the department. And we are saying, with fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we want a list of the people who are responsible, and you, because of the poor consequence management in the department and in entities, we want to know, as the portfolio committee, what you are doing with that information. So I'm hoping that the information has been submitted to JAM as we asked as the portfolio committee. And also we did ask for a report on Graph 103 because we initiated a platform as the portfolio committee because Graph 103 is a problem in all entities. So we initiated a platform where Treasury, the department, and the entities will sit and look at the issue and see how it can be resolved because it is a problem. I'm hoping that that as well has submitted to JAM to get any information from the department on this issue.
Not yet, sir.
What was the issue?
What does it say? That they should table these things to the committee. But I believe that the only thing I would do check is the breakdown of the one that was going to the meeting before. I think the copies of the page was on the other.
Department, did you? When we take decisions in a meeting, we expect you to ensure that we get the information that we are requesting from the department. And if we don't get the information, we will escalate the matter to the minister. Because as you are present, the officials of the department are present here. And I believe that they are also taking notes. When we say we require this information, they write it down. They will not wait for JAM to write to them. Although JAM does that, she writes to them after a meeting. But as we have always experienced from 2014, the department has slow wheels. It moves in a snail pace to respond to issues. There are instances where the department is not responding at all to issues. And this is what we have said as the portfolio committee, that we cannot accept that. That's totally unacceptable. So can you please ensure that an official sits here, they take notes of the issues that the portfolio committee is raising, and you give us the information. Failing to do that is a criminal offense. Failing to give us information that we request from you is a criminal offense. So please, give us the information that we require. We are now going to get a presentation from PACOF. But as usual, what we usually do is that we need the department just for us to get a feel that the department has its thumb on the pulse of entities. 80% of the department is transferred to entities. So we took a decision in 2014 that as the portfolio committee, we're going to focus on entities. And hey, what we find in those entities, our findings leave much to be desired. So the department must really focus. focus on entities. And the issue, VG, of 80% of the budget being only having only three people, how many people are there in that unit now? Four people.
Honorable Chair, it's five deputy directors, one director and one chief director. So it's seven people in the entities management unit.
Honorable members, do you hear that? And how many staff people do you have? Your complement, staff complement? This is what we raised from the onset, that 80% of the budget is monitored. It was by two, three people at the time, so it's seven now. 80% of the budget monitored by seven people. And you have 20% of the budget, 400 people. Can you imagine? You know. So I think this is what the department needs to, there is an improvement, because there were two or three people when we came in 2014. Now it's seven. But I think the department should seriously look into this thing and see how they can ensure that the 80% of the budget is properly monitored. Because what is happening in the entity, as I said earlier, leaves much to be desired. There's a problem in most of the entities, if not all. We are going to give an opportunity to the department to give us an overview of PACOF, of the presentation of PACOF, and then thereafter we will give over to PACOF.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm going to give the overview from the department. This is the outline of the presentation, where we'll be talking to the alignment with the EAC, because all the entities need to align to our strategic objectives. We talk to the performance review, the government status and the entity, income and expenditure trends. We also look at the 3-year financial statement and the analysis of cash and cash equivalents and the audit outcomes and challenges and interventions. In terms of the alignment, as a department, we've got the strategic oriented goals, one being a transformed, coherent and developed focus center sector, where we want to drive greater policy and planning coherence in the sector towards the achievement of the sectoral development. And this is what we have as a department, but PACOF, in terms of the alignment, they also want to identify, develop and implement strategies to contribute to the new growth path, and they use the art and culture as a medium to stimulate job creation and growth. And the second one, on nation building through effective social cohesion program, because the Department of Arts and Culture basically is about nation building and social cohesion. And we use the art and culture and heritage center to be able to achieve that. They also want to create platforms for artistic expression in music, dance, theater, poetry, opera, and comedy. They also want to create platforms for local artists to become and be known, and become known, to perform and become known. They also want to promote PACOF and its internal and external production to the public through effective marketing and communication campaigns, because the theater spaces is where people come together and they are able to share common places of Africans. Still on social cohesion, nation building, I will just talk to the key output deliverables as per the 2016 APP. They also want to promote PACOF and its internal and external production to the public through effective marketing and communication and campaigns. I think I've talked to that one. And also on the productive, diverse and inclusive arts, culture and heritage sector, by protecting, preserving, promoting and developing the sector, advancing the socioeconomic inclusivity and contribution to the sector,
They want to ensure that PAPOF uses arts and culture as a medium to stimulate job creation and growth. And also they want to promote an environment of efficiency, and that is effective in terms of governance and reporting. Here it is about self-governance, so that they have modernized systems and processes so that the sector is sustained. So they also want to ensure that they've got sound financial controls and that they have the revenue sources and they safeguard the assets of the entity. They also want to maintain a culture of practice of compliance with legislation and policies, and they also want to contribute to the achievement and development of PAPOF as a high-performing institution, and they also want to ensure a secure and reliable information technology environment because we are in the age of technology. Also ensure the effective identification and mitigation of risk across all functions. So the last goal that they have aligned to DAC, a professional and capacitated sector, the arts, culture and heritage sector. They also want to promote, educate and develop young artists by educating audiences and young artists in a way of presentation outside and inside PAPOF. Basically here is about nurturing young artists so that they also get an opportunity to grow as artists, to develop a love and interest for and sound understanding of arts and culture in schools and rural communities. I think this is one of their outreach programs. Also to develop technical skills for both PAPOF and non-PAPOF employees to generally improve technical skills levels. In terms of their performance, honorable members, PAPOF in 2016-17 achieved 50% of their targets and 40% was not achieved. This is a great concern, because it is just below 80%. Okay. Yeah, they did not achieve, I think that's why we need to, they had achieved 40% and not achieved 50%. This is a great concern, but the agency will then indicate the strategy to be able to achieve all the asset deliverables, because this is a plan that you've costed. And in terms of performance overview, because we look at the trends over the years, in 2014-15 they were at 52% achievement and the performance went down in 2015-16 to 39%, and then it went up by 1% in 2016-17. So the performance is very, very low and it's very concerning. But we then realized that it's due to leadership challenges. There's been changing of leadership in the entity, and there's been a lot of instability and conflict in the workplace. And then the delay, there was a forensic investigation that was ongoing in the Capital Works program, and they could not deliver on some of the deliverables that they set for themselves, and the entity really underperformed because they received like 30 million to be able to deliver some of the Capital Works project, but because of the forensic investigation that has since been concluded, they were not able to deliver on some of those deliverables. In terms of governance, they've got 8 council members, so it's a fully constituted board. They have regular meetings like in 2016-17. There's an improvement from 2014-15 because currently they've had about 8 meetings. And the number of council committee meetings, they've got committees within the council, because there must be those committees in terms of governance. They've got, they had about 7 meetings. And the rate of attendance, at least it's happening at 80%. They have an audit committee, and the audit committee had 2 meetings last year. And the number of management meetings to be able to talk to, you know, as managers, to be able to strategize plans, they had about 8 meetings, and the number of staff meetings is 10. So the board is fully constituted and functional, and all the vacancies should be filled. But we know there's a gap now with the CEO, who was appointed in the last financial year, but has since resigned in the new financial year. But there is a process to fill that vacancy. But we indicated to the chair of the council that because the board is about, the term of the board is about to expire on the 30th of November, so they need to give the new board an opportunity to be able to fill the post of the CEO. In terms of the income and expenditure trends over the past 3 years, the government grants that they received from the department, 38 million, and they were able to generate all income at 2.9 million. But what they expended was above what they had. So they had a deficit of 2.8 million. In 2015-16, their income total was 44 million, and they also spent about 47 million, and they had a deficit of 2.6 million. But in 2016, Honorable Member 17, with 48.9 million, they were able to use 46.3 million, so they have a surplus. So it means that the financials, they are beginning to turn around the financials. And these are the trends in terms of their 3 year financial statement of financial position. The top two is just to focus on their net working capital, 29.5 million in 2014-15, 9.2 million in 2015-16, the 44.3 million. But we just also want to indicate that the 44.3 million, this includes the 30 million received from DAC for the implementation of the Capital Works project. But due to non-spending, DAC has not been able to release further funding, but they still have the 30 million in their books. And in terms of the audit outcomes, which is a cause for concern, PAPOS was unqualified in 2014-15, and they received a qualification in 2015-16, and in 2016-17, they received an adverse opinion. This adverse opinion is due to property, plant, and equipment not recognized in accordance to GRAP standards, no appropriate audit evidence for repairs and maintenance and capital works. That was still in progress. That was not recognized in terms of the GRAP standard. In addition, no appropriate audit evidence for general expenses. So the entity needs to make sure that they move from address and they improve in terms of the audit outcome. The challenges in the entity, there's been this leadership vacuum for almost 3 years, and this contributed to instability at PECOF, and also the recent resignation of the CEO has been attended to. The post has been advertised, but it will be filled as soon as the new board has been appointed by the minister on the 30th of November. And the labor union and management are always at loggerheads. There are also issues around the law, labor and disciplinary cases that take longer to conclude, and this has got financial implications. A full forensic investigation, what we have done at DAC is that there's been oversight, and DAC is attending to issues of poor relations in the organization. A full forensic investigation into the capital expenditure of PAPOX has been concluded by the National Treasury, because we asked National Treasury to look at that element, and that meeting was held by ourselves with National Treasury and the chairperson on the matter. A separate presentation with findings and recommendations will be presented to the members of the portfolio committee. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, thank you. Thank you, can we start with the introduction? Can we introduce ourselves before we get any further? Can we start with the PG and then we introduce yourself?
Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. And maybe just to also acknowledge what you raised, and we will provide the feedback on the issue of wasteful expenditure as well as the issue of the grant engagement with National Treasury by next Tuesday. We have done work on that area. And then on the issue of introduction, I've got myself with the DG for Director of Arts and Culture. And I would like the colleagues to do the same DG, Club Kile, who was presenting, and then the colleagues at the back. Thanks.
Good morning, honorable members, and I'm Kile Kile, the Development Deputy Director General for Institutional Governance.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Sakio Kiso. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Governance, Monitoring, Evaluation, and Strategy and Planning from the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Mbule Rutawuli, Chief Director at the National Language Service Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Mbule Rutawuli.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Simeon Kami from the Ministry of Arts and Culture. I'm the PLO.
Thank you very much, Department. Can we then have the introduction from the entity?
You are invited, gentlemen.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. We are from PACOF. I'm the Chairperson of Council, and I'm here with the Interim CEO, who will introduce himself.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Zolani Kiva. I'm the Interim CEO of PACOF.
Good morning, my name is Bandigani Neforo Roswe. I'm the chairperson of the Human Resource Governance Integrity Committee. But I'm here today having been delegated of bringing the fellows who run the institution to report by the chairperson of Robin Island.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mohamed Lalin, Chief Financial Officer at Robben Island Reserve.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Pascal Tarulenga. I'm the Chief Heritage Officer for Robben Island Museum. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Keshen Banana. I'm the Executive Manager for Infrastructure and Facilities.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Sandra Zengoyen. I'm the Senior Manager of Ferry Operations for Robben Island.
Thank you very much. You are all welcome. Honourable members, do you have any questions on, or should we let Transcorp present? Okay, Honourable Makonda.
Chair, we normally don't ask information. But Mupandaram, I did not get what is he, why is he here? We don't have people who can accompany people. We are all waiting. We need to clarify that point. Secondly, Chair, Mr. Mkiva, I did not get it well. Why is he here? And what is it that is doing here? I know him to be a board member. And is an interim something? I did not get it, what interim that he is. Yeah, Chair. As well, that point can be clarified.
2 points for clarification. Can you respond, Chairperson of PACOS, and then Robben Island thereafter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable members, I was going to use the opportunity to introduce my colleague when we present. Mr. Mkiva has been seconded as an interim chairperson and all of my board members and CEO, interim CEO at the PACOS, given the issues that the DDG has raised about the resignation of the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you for wanting clarity on why I'm here. I did indicate at the beginning that I'm here delegated by the chairperson of the Robben Island Museum Council because I'm also a member of that council. So I was asked to come here delegated by the chairperson to be part of the people who are coming to the board. So in other words, I would also be part of that reporting as a delegated person. Thank you.
As long as you said.
In fact, Mr. Soto was going to say that when the chairperson, in fact, let me start by saying that the board or the council is the accounting body in any entity. They are the people who account to us. So it's important that when the chairperson of the board or council is not coming to account, there is an official apology to say, I am not able to attend and I'm delegating so-and-so to take my place. So if we don't have that, then we don't know who we are talking to. You know? So it's very important to make it official because the board or council is the accounting authority. So we take reports from the board. They can delegate why they are, or why you are here, say, okay, we'll allow the officials to do it, but they need to do the opening remarks and give us the impression that they know what is happening in an entity. So this is why the members are asking the question. We don't have an apology here from the chair, we don't have a letter that is giving you an authority to act on his behalf, on his behalf. And what do we do? I think as the committee, we have to discuss that and see what we will do about it. Because you will be presenting last in our list of things. Or second. So we will discuss that and see how we deal with that. Because as it is, you're presenting to us, it's not official. Who are we talking to? We don't have anything. This is why the other day we sent back the department. Say, we can't talk to you. We don't know who you are. If the head is not here, who is the accountable authority? And we don't have anything to return. We can't talk to you. Because who are you? There's nothing to return. So it's a problem. And I think the issue of, that was raised by Honorable Macron, the other issue, that we need to get clarity on what capacity is Mr. Mkiva acting, in what capacity is he acting. It should be clarified beforehand, before he can answer. And the legality, because we encourage entities and the department itself to operate within the legal framework. We don't accept anything that is done outside the legal framework, because we make the law. So it's important for us, whatever we do, we know that we are doing it within the legal framework. Another remark?
Thank you. I want that point, Mr. Mkiva, to be clarified. Come clarify it. And the department is here. I know him to be a board member of one of the institutions. I don't know whether it's Power for Robben Island. But I know him to be a board member. That point must be clarified. Whether he's still a board member of this other council, or he has resigned as a board member from the council that he was appointed to. And now he's an interim CEO of PAGO. That point should be clear to me. And I've got an issue which I'm going to raise after that point has been clarified. Zezavanga Azambi. And I think he must apologize. There is no one who accompanied people here. We're here to work. And if he's not here to work, then he must leave. He can have his seat in the gallery. Here, he's here to account as a board member. That point must be clear. Because what he's talking about is an arrangement between him and the church, and we can't be passed through. So that point must be clarified that he's here as a board member, the chairperson is not here, and we did not receive an apology from the church. So that apology can't come through back door. There's a particular way in which things are done here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can the department respond to the Mr. Makondo's question? To Honorable Makondo.
Honorable Makondo, the Mr. Mkiva has resigned as a board member of PAKOS. So he has been appointed as the interim CEO. And I think for Robben Island, Mr. van der Laan is a board member. And he has to come and account. I think that's what he should have said, that he is coming to account to the portfolio committee delegated by the chairperson. I think, yeah, thank you.
Honourable Scott Pong.
Thank you, Chair. I just need to the clarity that I'm seeking is once Mr. Makiba asked to resign as a member of board so that he can take over the position. I think you should be very clear on that. And only afterwards will they then tailor the position of CEO based on these qualifications, etc. Is that the way we go?
Maybe that, as we usually say at the portfolio committee, when you are responding to the questions of the portfolio committee, you need to give the details so that we don't do this toing and froing, you know, of asking a question, you respond, and you ask. There's always a follow-up question. Respond in such a way that no other questions will arise. So I think it's important for you to give us the details, say, this is what happened on this day because of this, that, and that, so that we are all clear. We need clarity as the portfolio committee. But this is all we need to be clear.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Grootboom, as reported, the CEO who was appointed in December resigned. He gave a 24-hour notice, and then as a department we received that.
And I'm asking you to say the CEO that was appointed in December and resigned in March. Yeah, but you don't give us all the information.
He resigned, I think, in April, in May, as the CEO of Parkops, and he gave us a 24-hour notice. The board then took a decision, honorable member, to appoint the artistic director as the CEO, as the acting CEO. And he held forth until last month, when he indicated that due to the nature of the work and the workload, he was not able to continue acting as the CEO because he needs to put a lot of work in terms of promoting the arts in the Free State. The board then took a decision and they wrote to the department informing the minister of the challenges at the entity, and that they would ask Mr. Nkiva, because of his experience in the arts, and so that he can resign as a board member and take over and be the interim CEO of Parkops, also understanding the dynamics within the entity and be able to deal with those issues that are applying in the entity on a day-to-day basis. So we received that communication that was coming from the chair of the portfolio committee, and that was
the chair of the entity, not the board. That's from me.
I'm so sorry, Honorable Chair, the chairperson of the PAPOF.
I think it's clear now, and this is the information that we need the details so that we understand. Are there any follow-up questions? There being none, we're giving over to you. But I think, honourable members, to conclude the Robben Island issue, I think it's because we sent the department away packing because we didn't have an official apology and an official letter that was mandating the person to leave the delegation. So I don't know whether we can be able to listen to them because as it is, we don't have anything right now.
Can I?
Okay, thank you very much. Over to you, Chairperson of PACO.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning all once more. We would like to thank you for the opportunity to come and account for our act of commission as well as our act of commission. And I'm particularly delighted today to stand here proudly and say the AEC has finally woken up from its slumber party, giving us an opportunity to self-correct. And if I may also add on the issue of Mr. Nkiba, who agreed to stand in when we're in need of a leader, a papa, that yes, he has indeed resigned as a board member and is serving as an interim chairperson until interim CEO until the end of November, or when the new term of when the term of the board expires. On the issue of the CEO, indeed, as part of our act of commission and mission, our appointment of the CEO in December was probably not absolutely ideal. And so when he had to excuse himself in June, it was to be expected, based on the probation period that we had given him. And indeed, we did have the artistic director serving for a time until he himself felt that he could not cope. And we appointed Mr. Nkiba solely because of his capability in the arts, as well as his ability to work with people. And I would like to believe that in the past 3 weeks that he has been serving as an interim CEO at PAPOS, he is doing a fabulous job of stabilizing the institution in a respectful and amicable manner that he has of working with people. I am going to now hand over to him to present on the AG findings.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Once more, good morning to you, Chair, as well as the honorable member. The presentation that we are making today is going to zoom in directly into the performance overview. You will realize that the submission that we made last week, it also had the alignment to the department strategic intent. So we have removed that from this presentation so that we can focus on the core business first and foremost before we go to compliance issues. So for 2016-2017 financial year or cultural year or artistic year, we have presented 15 performances at PAPOS. And out of 56 performances, out of those 56 performances, 21 of them are low-cam productions, which means that they are productions that mainly are coming from the province of the Free State. And the remainder is a combination of national production as well as international production. We have had 18 partnerships which have seen us hosting the following itemized presentations at PAPOS venues and theatres. A new Revelation TVT launch, a production called Blood Speaks, the Royal Moscow Ballet, which is one of the international ensembles, the Free State Fashion Week, as well as the beauty pageant entitled Miss Free State, the Showdown Hip Hop, NYCHA, as well as Mohale TVT launch, Hallelujah SA, the Soil, which is also a national outfit, Fair Plus, as well as Simple Stories, Tribute to Leone, Impregnated by Dance, Dear Strip, as well as Kaben and Rati City Lodge. We have also rented out some of our theatres and venues to external clients, which is an arrangement that we always make, and we ensure that it is of mutual benefit. And that has seen the listed events there that include national events, Passion Play, Moments 2016, Heart Songs, Varsity Sings, as well as Nathaniel in Concert, and the South African Sports Award, as well as Evita, who is obviously one of the national well-known comedians.
We have had 7 outreach programs, and these outreach programs have been taken to the 5 districts in the province of the Free State. Out of the productions that we've hosted in our venues, we have had an audience to date that is in this current financial year, which is still continuing, just about 24,000 people attending this production. PASCOX is one of the key partners of the Mangaung African Cultural Festival, which was hosted in the last week, which concluded with the Makufe Cup. This is one of the flagship projects in the province, which we pride ourselves with. And we are happy to say that once again, as we celebrated the 20th anniversary of Makufe this year, it was a resounding success. And I'm sure that one of the members were able to view that in our national television. We have also partnered with the Gariep District Municipality, wherein we are hosting an annual heritage festival with them. And this is by way of also taking PASCOX to communities, because we believe in a two-pronged approach, wherein in terms of our audience development, we bring people from all the provinces, all the regions of the Free State to come into our theaters. But some productions are designed such that they are taken to the communities themselves for the benefit of our communities. Amongst the national events that we have hosted include the SA National Sports Awards. And this event helps us to profile the capacity of PASCOX, especially with its theaters, to host events of this magnitude. In this regard, we had to partner with both the provincial department responsible for sports as well as the National Department of Sports and Recreation. We have hosted the Free State Arts Festival in partnership with the University of the Free State as well as one of the leading newspapers in the province, Fox Bus, and various other national sponsors. As I indicated, we have hosted the Free State Fashion Week with the purpose of giving a platform to the designers from the province, because we never had this instrument before, and we felt that it is important that we use this platform to mainstream the talent that we have in the province so that it can have an opportunity to showcase itself and so on and so forth. We can turn to the next page. All district municipalities in the province are engaged by PASCOX to ensure that each and every district, in each and every district, PASCOX can find an expression. And we've got similar partnerships with the district municipalities and in some instances even with local municipalities within those districts. The council has also taken a decision for PASCOX to take the opportunity of the BRICS family of nations, so that through those countries that are member states of the BRICS community, PASCOX can begin to build partnerships at that level, as well as ensure that we look at a possibility of resource mobilization through those partnerships. The next slide that talks to cash and equivalent is linked to what the DAC has already presented here. On the 31st of May 2014, we had an initial deposit of 11 million. On the 23rd of June, the same year, there was a withdrawal of 2 million on that amount of money, which is an amount of money that was intended for capital projects. And I could only pick up this, we could only pick up this in this financial year, this withdrawal of this 2 million. And we found that this withdrawal was actually not in line in terms of administration. It was wrongly withdrawn from that account. But due to the instability that DAC has alluded to, it could not be picked up. It could not be picked up at that particular point in time. But now that we have picked it up, we are investigating the circumstances around its withdrawal. We have found some documentation to that effect, even though it is not, it seems that it was not an authorized transaction. And we are in touch with the department around that matter. We hope that it's an issue that will be attended to as speedily as possible. The department has further deposited on the 31st of October 2016 an amount of 30 million. Also, this 30 million is an amount of money that is a grant towards capital projects for parkhouse and for parkhouse facilities. We have not been able to proceed with this project because of issues that relate to the forensic audit which was mentioned here by the department. Let me hasten to say, Chairperson, that out of the initial amount that was given to parkhouse that relates to the capital projects, we have found that almost 23 million of that initial injection was used in circumstances that are questionable, in the sense that most of the money went to consultants and some of the money did not do what it was intended for. And these are the things that we're beginning to pick up. But the detailed forensic report talks to that, and at an appropriate time, as the DDG has indicated, that report will be presented to the portfolio committee. I am not at liberty as the interim CEO to go into detail into that matter because it is under the stewardship of the department. So the total balance of what we have in terms of the capital project, including interest that has been accrued over this period of time, is sitting almost at 42 million, just under 42 million, which is 41,903,636.39. The department has further assisted us with some resources towards an incubator program to assist the Free State arts community with requisite equipment for artists as well as training. So that amount of 4.3 million it flows from that incubator resources that were injected for us. And over the years, we have seen that we have identified within PACOF that there were certain accounts that were established long before the new dispensation by people who love the arts, let me put it like that, because these are monies that we are told that were given to the organization to support the programs of the organization by individual citizens of South Africa. So one account is the Cobas Rosso Trust account, which has got that amount, which is just under 60,000 rands. And we have another one, Pierce Nicholson Trust, which has got that 61,817. And then we have that Freitas Music Vereniging, which has got just under 15,000. We initially had almost about six of these kind of accounts, and the council has been trying to navigate to see as to how we can do away with these accounts, and use these resources towards our core business of arts promotion and arts development. But some of them have been very tricky in the manner in which the people who donated these monies have left wills, and in those wills they've given specific instructions as to how these monies should be used. And that is why you see them still reflecting in our statement. And the total of those funds, therefore, is 4.4 million. As the DPG has indicated that in 2016-2017 financial year, we are sitting with an adverse opinion. And the adverse opinion flows from the fact that we have had and identified mismanagement, wasteful expenditure, and sometimes misuse of funds dating back from 2014 and in some instances from 2013. That is why that you will see that during the 2013-2014 financial year, we had an unqualified audit, and the following year, we also had an unqualified audit. But 2015-2016, we had a qualified audit. And strange enough, for the current financial year, we had an adverse outcome. Even though we were found to have been unqualified and qualified in the previous year for the same reason. The strange thing is that this year, for the same reason, we get the adverse opinion. And as our chairperson says, that we are happy with this outcome, because I think that it is talking truth to power in the sense that for a long time, over a period of 3 years, we think that we were given a wrong audit. And perhaps somebody was sleeping on the job, or there are shenanigans that were attached to that were given unqualified and qualified over a period of 3 years. And now for the same reason we get the adverse. The evidence is there, honorable members, is glaring. The important thing now is that having acknowledged that yes, indeed, we have this address, and we're not here to defend it, but all we're saying that we are acknowledging, and we have now taken steps to reverse this so that PACOFS can perform better. And which brings me to what we are trying to do, Chairperson, in order to correct this. The first thing that we have done was to ensure that we bring peace within PACOFS, because workers were at loggerheads. 90% of the staff complement of PACOFS is unionized, and they are divided between two unions that are competing within the ambit of the organization. And we have established that management and executives were not talking to the unions. There was no communication between the executive management as well as the entire staff of PACOFS. I think that was the first thing that was not happening, and which we have ensured that it is now happening. And I'm therefore happy to say that there's peace at PACOFS, and we are hoping for 100% stability in the next few months. On other matters, Chairperson, the next page, restatement of corresponding figures. Restatement were mainly as a result of income incorrectly matched to general expenses during 2015-16 financial year. This resulted in the revenue and general expenses of previous year understated. Production costs were classified by function and not by nature, whereas other expenses were classified by nature. Irregular expenditure. Contracts entered into the previous year still have major impact in the current financial year, and the prior year irregular expenditure has to be reinstated. The successes that we have had in the recent months is that we have been able to appoint the two executives which have been vacant for many, many years. Early this year we appointed the chief financial officer as well as the artistic director. and we have always advertised for the executive responsible for corporate services and support, and we hope that appointment will happen before the end of 2017. The issue of the interim CEO has been explained prior to this presentation being made. And one of our successes is that we have had a salary increase negotiation that went well without any strike, nor a threat of strike. We have advertised for the appointment of restructuring service because we felt that there was a need for restructuring the PACOPS for a number of reasons. And all the jobs that are at PACOPS are not graded. There's no job description in some instances. There are no job profiles in some instances. There's no standardized way of dealing with the issue of how people are employed. Each individual staff has his or her customized contract with the organization. And some of these contracts, I would say, they are outdated because some of them are 30 years old and so on, so there has never been an alignment. And this service provider is being commissioned to help us with that, to help us with job profiles, job description, as well as job grading, and also arrest this confusion around all the employment contracts that we have at PACOPS. The turnaround plan has been developed and the implementation has commenced. This is part of our corrective measures, and the PACOPS Council has taken its decision to come up with a turnaround strategy to ensure that we turn the corner at PACOPS. And one of the major challenges that we have picked out at PACOPS is that PACOPS did not have its own initiative of arts promotion and arts development. It was too much dependent on partnership with external stakeholders. It did not develop its own initiative in the form of flagships that help PACOPS to ensure that its core business, you know, is optimal in terms of the expectations from the shareholder. We have recently hosted a workshop which was conducted by National Treasury as part of our corrective measures. Wherein our finance division, including SCM, was brought under the same roof, and Treasury took us through the regulations on how we must conduct ourselves and on how we take corrective measures in terms of the mistakes that we have conducted in the past that has seen this irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. So this work is continuing. We are also going to be doing a workshop because this one that we have done with the National Treasury, it helps us to ensure that we turn the corner insofar as compliance is concerned. But we need to balance compliance with core business. Because what our communities expect is for us to deliver as well on the core business. And we are going to be having a workshop this week that talks to the core business to ensure that we don't have an over-reliance on only on partnership with the external stakeholders. So, as the DAC has alluded, is that in terms of the production that we have posted in this current financial year, we are happy to say that we have a surplus of almost 2.6 million rand. The challenges, some of them are still glaring at PACOPS, which some of them have already highlighted. But the leadership vacuum has been a real big problem for PACOPS for the past 3 years. And we hope that the CEO will be appointed before the end of the year, as the DAC has indicated. One of the things that we have picked up is the lack of proper planning. There is no proper planning, especially when it comes to the core business. People wait for proposals from outside, and then they just cut an arrangement with that service provider who comes and proposes that they want to stage a show where there will be a revenue sharing in terms of reproduction that are hosted. We want to put an end to this. We have started training around it, and the workshop that we will host this week will talk to that and ensure that come the year 2018-2019 with full plans that talks to our flagship project as well as how we're going to carry ourselves going forward. Well, PACOF employs more than 81 people. I'm saying more than 81 because we've got 81 people who are full-time, but over and above that, we have anything between 10 and 30 chairpersons of people who are casual. The worrying thing about these people that are casual, some of them have been casuals for more than 20 years. We only got to hear about this recently, and we are investigating it as to how it occurred that people have been casualized for such a long period of time. And it's the same faces, same people, and some of them are close to retirement. And I think it is a big problem that we've got to take up head on. In a country where we don't believe that casualization is encouraged. With those few words, Chairperson, that brings me to the conclusion of our presentation. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. On the issue of the appointment of the CEO, as the portfolio committee, we can't measure hope. We want things that we can measure here. You need to tell us. Hope is not measurable. So we need to hear that the advert has gone out, we have shortlisted, you know, you need to tell us. Because ours is to monitor and evaluate what you're doing. So hope is something that we can't measure. You need to give us the specific, you can know the marks and so it's important for you to give us the detail, as I said earlier. And on the issue of PACOF, as the portfolio committee, we saw the red light long ago. And we told the department. The department, and we've been saying this, department, PACOF is going to be penciled in fact, it's penciled in making. Because what we got here in 2014, penciled for the Itaka. To say it was in the grade, not even in ICU, it was in the grade. So we were saying to the department, PACOF is just going to be another pencil. And the department never took note of that and never gave PACOF the attention that was needed at the time. And now, as the portfolio committee said then, the pencil was in your position where the auditor could not get any information because it's here in your annual report. We could not get this, we could not get that. That's what the annual report is saying, the auditor's report is saying here. So it has been coming. We are not surprised at all. We saw it coming and we told the department that this is coming. Department, it's here now. We told you long ago that it's coming. It's here. And you have to deal with it. And you need to give us what you are going to do. And this turnaround strategy that is there. Are you aware, department, of the turnaround strategy? If you are aware, give us the turnaround strategy. We want to see it. And want to monitor to ensure that everything is done to benefit the people that have to benefit. Because the entities shame poor minister. All these forensic investigations, in every entity now, there is a forensic investigation. This is totally, totally unacceptable. It's not. Honorable members, it's your opportunity to ask questions.
I wonder if we would be in a position to conclude.
bring backups without wasting time for the other entities. My view is we need almost 5 days for backups. I am serious, I am honest. And if indeed members can express themselves, but my view would have been that let's pack backups, let's pack them, and then let's deal with the other two entities. Then we'll come back to backups. It's a, yeah, this is my shared communication. If members agree, it's fine. If they don't, it's also fine.
And I remember that the proposal that we pack up and discuss it at the lunch or when they
do that. I need another teacher.
Another teacher, please.
Thank you very much. And by telling over the local constituency, current classes are there are problems with the flights. Let's just establish the flight issue, whether they are leaving too late. Because we might have a problem if we take them later for them to remain here. This is class that would say the amount in the flight.
I
prefer
to
go back.
Honourable members, they are in the same flight as the Eastern Cape from a plus now. So there are only two flights, one coming in and one going out. If you don't get any of them, then it means you have to click over. But I think let us engage with them, and then if there are issues that we have not been able to finalize, we'll deal with them later. Let's just engage immediately, and then if there are any issues, we pack those issues. Why we decide later if we deal with Robben Island or it's okay, you can ask. It's okay. Let's ask the questions. Another question, Bob, you wanted to say something?
I don't know where to begin. Where I will begin with the questions. But be that it may, I don't know, it's not very clear whether the forensic investigation was launched because of the 2 million that was withdrawn, or were there any other financial irregularities identified, which was the basis for the forensic investigation. The interim CEO, the money is there of the trust given, but of course I think you've mentioned that it is for specific purposes. But now we're just wondering, all these years that the money has been there, or I'm not sure when the money was deposited or given to PECOS. And for what purposes? Because we know that when you bequeath money, you bequeath it for specific purpose within a particular entity. So in view of that, we would need to have some clarity on that. If you say you want to use the money, then it must also be very clear what you want to use the money for. But my biggest problem, and I think my colleagues will touch on that, is that despite the fact that you have worked very hard and not underspent and overspent on the financial disbursements, the money does not measure up, or let me say your level of achievement does not measure up with your level of expenditure. And that is a great concern. It's actually a greater sin than under the expenditure, because 40% achievement of targets against 60% not achieved yet. You use all your
money. So there must be serious, serious problems. Just one last question earlier, and that is concerning the board. If the board, I'm not sure whether the board did its work or not, or is the interim CEO being found to be being a board member that he was stated for this job as a CEO. That to us is also very, very unclear based on what was it just, or is it just holding the ship until the post will be advertised, because it would be really, it would be sacrilege that you will then, when you advertise the job, you will tailor it according to the qualification of the said gentleman. I also know the when we had a look at the when you appointed the previous CEOs, there were highly qualified people that were put aside, and these people were not taken. A person with lesser qualification experience was taken, and that's why PECOS from there went downhill. Let me rest those questions by. I will, when we this afternoon, I will then ask again, should I get the opportunity? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Platform. I have noted Honorable Mkhosi to be followed by Honorable Moses, to be followed by Honorable Mahlangu. If there are any other members who want to come in, can I go to the head further? Thank you so much. Can we, Honorable Mkhosi, to your platform?
Thank you. The first question was to the department, especially after the presentation from the deputy. In terms of 60 soldiers, the performance is amazing. I'm not a mathematician, but when you get something says 60 soldiers, and tells you that 60% is not achieved. It is the ATP consumption. If it was 50 was better. But the 60-40, it just tells you that the impact is not achieved. And during the presentation, when the GDP presented, she touched the slide, this is page 12 of government, that talk about the NTP has a functional council. It's functioning. When you say a functioning council, members are held meeting, members are doing what they're supposed to do. And it will tell you number of council meetings is 8. Number of council members are 8. Then it will go down, attendance is 80%. But within the 80% doesn't talk to that 60% of not. What is the role of that council? The chairperson of the council, is it? Okay. What is the role of the council? If they say 80% of the meetings are well attended, you go to the pie chart that says 60% is not achieved. So there's something that is not right. You are telling others, or you are singing the song, but you are here to promote kind to us, but you're not promoting the king to us here. I will go to the performance. Okay, in terms of the experience another report for the passion, you won't be hating in default, there's a surplus. You know? Not there's a surplus, but there's a 2 million.
the department again, are you not doing the monetary evaluation in terms of the ACC? And if the department that is the chairperson often, they could see the NTD not functioning. My question to the department, how often do you meet with the ATP? Let's not even put the ATP, how often do you meet with PACOP? Because we know that the PACOP is still in hospitals in ICU. We were there in 2014, 2015, still sitting in the ICU. So the department, what have you done? Because the time we leave that institution, you said that there is a turnaround strategy that you implement, that you go for. Maybe the department will check before I come, because I do have questions for the council. This one are for the department. Department must assist us as honorable members. We are very honorable. Tell us what has been done. We have visited you, we have babysitted you, but you're calling you to this community. And to show me that we are doing our overtime. But because today, tell us what has happened. We need help, we need answers. What honorable Mashamu said, can we please pass them on the line? Because we need answers. The department needs to tell them what is happening. Okay, these are the questions of going to the family, which is page 18, between the department over here. Chair, you talked about the labor union and management audit in Lobashev. And the other reports tell us the different stories, you know? So even if only if the department needs to tell us which step they taking, they cannot just say the intervention by the ASP, oversight visit by the ASP, are intervening and attend the issue. But tell us that story. Bring it on to us, you know? Labor peace and stability, is that what you want? Our union is a social partner outside there with us, we know it's part of the government business. So tell us the story, what is happening here? And the issue of disciplinary hearings, it's just disciplinary hearings of how many people, what was happening, and this financial implication in terms of notification, tell us how much they spend. This goes to the department. I don't know whether I must go to the current question or what, but I wanted that they will be able to go to the current question.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Can we have Honorable Members?
Thank you, Jefferson. When we visited Pakos, was it last year or beginning of this year? I can't remember. Beginning of this year. There was a lot of problems that we saw all the problems last year when we were getting older. And I think they list the challenges in the end of this presentation. But surely the biggest challenge from my point of view would be the leadership vacuum, because the moment that is there, everything else sort of would come from that. Now, they did the point now in interim, so it's not permanent yet, they haven't fixed it yet, so I'd just like to know, what are the plans to really get that leadership fixed? Because I think when you have to start there, then the rest hopefully will get better. And maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear what exactly happened. Why did we lost the previous one? When we were there, he was quite enthusiastic. He was telling us about everything he's going to do. He looked quite capable, and I thought maybe this is the jockey that will ride this horse. Now he's gone, he's got the new jockey. Can we learn anything from that? What is the reason why he left? So we don't repeat that, and we go for another 3 years of vacuum, because that will be the big problem. As a second question, you know, one of the arguments they were to get a turnaround strategy, that's important. And if I remember correctly, they then said that the best time, the peak time for them to get money is on the December-January holiday period, because then people are relaxed and they want to see shows, etc. But the purpose, most of the people took leave in that period, so nothing happens and they missed that opportunity. Is that getting better now? Is it planned already? If anything happens, can I come along in December and watch a show, or will everybody be on leave? Because
that makes sense for me, that you must use that big time to get it going. And maybe a last one, I remember that the unions were fighting. Are the unions now in peace, or are they still fighting because there were more than one union there? Because I think that's a smaller challenge, but still an important challenge. Thank you, Chairperson.
I merely wanted to support the Honorable Mashaun, but unfortunately, you have got your own girl in this committee, isn't it? I've got a number of questions, but because of time, I'm going to justify. I'm not so sure whether we must excuse you, Madam King. Because it looks like it's so convenient for you to be the CEO, and that you have been in that position just for through. And whether that makes you look very innocent, another issue that we can discuss. You see, all the things that you are raising happened when all of you were there. And I think I've discussed PACOP for, I think, 3 times. We met with the board. Well, I never met you. Whether there was an apology or not, well, that's another issue. But you can't be a very good guy for that. You see, Chair, I want to talk about this forensic investigation, whether it exists. I must be told if it exists or it's still in detention. Because all the issues which PACOP is raising, this board, they oversee all the things that they were complaining about. And they can't tell us that they were surprised just in September last month that there was this withdrawal, this withdrawal of 2 million and 3 million, which looks very suspicious. I can't agree with them. Secondly, I know for a fact that at PACOP there is an exit interview. If you resign, there is an exit interview. The chair can confirm. I asked this question last time when we were there. So I want to know what are the reasons for the CEO to resign. Because there is an exit interview. You should have picked those issues that cause him to resign. You must be able to tell me. The other issue is, you see, this litigation, where's the evidence? Whether it's intentional that you deliberately left, you would have to account on that space. The litigation, Chairperson, we've been telling you about it and how you were handling it and how much it was eaten on public money. You keep on telling us that there's a process that's going to be resolved soon. And you're telling us today that they have not been resolved. And it's eating on public money. How much have you spent now on your labor dispute and litigation? I want to understand. Can you clarify this donation and this account? I did not understand what you were talking about. This 4.6 million of donation. Can you just explain it to me so that I understand what is happening here? You see on your performance target, I don't blame anyone for badly performance by Parkhoffs, but I blame the board. In fact, you are responsible for this bad performance. You know, when you look at your attendance of your board meeting, it's 80%. You had 8 board meetings. Tell me, what were you doing in those meetings? So that I understand that. Because I think you were there if you were able to meet twice. I mean to meet 8 times a year. I could imagine that you did not meet in December because you were in holiday. January. But I think those you have met more than any other board that has met in the departmental entity. Tell us, what were you doing in those meetings? Then I can come back. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable member, Honorable, you wanted to come back.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I will go through to the country, especially under your HR. Can I be assisted in this committee be assisted in terms of your organizational structure? Do you have an organizational structure, number one? Because I went to page 30. Of your annual report. Number two, is that structure content? Because why I'm asking this, when the presenter said that some of the jobs were not evaluated or there was no job analysis in terms of the organization structure. So back again to the council, where is the HR committee? Are we having an HR committee? And if we're having an HR committee, 2014, 2015, we have raised this. We went to PACOF in that meeting. We even requested for an organization structure and the policies of the entity. And when we leave there, they say the progress will follow you. Yes, the progress, that was it. Under the employment equity, it's not a, employment equity is a small policy, but inside it's big. Issues of disability, issues of gender, how far are you? How many disabled people are you having in an entity? Because that, again, to your
annual report, you said that you never, or the NCC chair never had anyone that is disabled. Chair, you know because of what? Because of the infrastructure. You reduce us to an infrastructure. You reduce people with disability because the facility was not conducive for those people. So tell us, what is happening? The HR community that's sitting in the council is collecting maybe money. There's a board fee that people get sitting in the commission. What are they doing? What are they doing? You cannot just only focus on the high level structure and your service skills and something like that. 25% is going to the top management. The money is going to them. And the council is begging. What is happening? The organization that is functioning without organizational structure is not functioning totally. Your HR policies, how many of them, you are asking this for the second time, how many of them are you getting? The presenter even go further to say, can we develop a policy for procurement and supply chain? I think it is the slide, like the last page of your slide. There is a page that talk about that. And one will ask again, going back to the audit committee of the council, when the 2 million vanish, where was the audit committee? Because usually it's audit and finance. It doesn't go alone. It's audit and finance. In every meeting that you sit, there will be the financial statements that are coming. And one thing about financial statements is good check. You can trace. If they were saying it has 4 million and one is missing, it will tell you what has happened and where did it go to. So it cannot just, somebody cannot just draw or draw 2 million. Then the council doesn't know and say that we did see it later and we are still investigating or we are checking where it is. The time you come to your audit committee, didn't you see this? Remember, audit is all about the risk. You see the environment when you open the door. Like you say, when you open this door, there will be this risk that is coming. So the council is 8% of attendance check, but they never see it. The council is sitting every month, the HR is not functioning. The council is sitting every month, half of the budget is going to the personnel, and this personnel is management. And when you go down and ask how many people are there, it's plus minus 500, I think they are still down there. So what is happening? We need this answer for companies.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Bullet.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. It's always difficult for me to contribute when it comes to PECOS because I always have to experience firsthand of what is going on in the institution. But let me start, Chair, perhaps by just putting two or three comments on some of the matters, Chair, that have been raised here that I'll be agreeing with them because remember, I only have to get information from that institution. I think a bit of stability change there for a month or two now, because with PECOS I would not have a week pass by without receiving a call. But honestly, I would agree with the presentation that there is much a little bit of a stability to the organization, but I just hope that the stability will be there for a long time, even after this board, when the other board comes in, would experience that stability. Secondly, the issue of emotion. You know, sometimes PECOS will be so dull in such a way that you will not even, when you pass there, you will not even think that there is a performing art center. But for this few months, two or one month, there has always been some activities that are taking place in the
position, even if I don't come in, because that's where I can't, when I come to town, I can't take off, when I go home, I can't take off. So when I go to airport, it is where I have to go through every now and then. But there is really some entertainment that is taking place in the situation, which is really for me, because I understand the history. It's something that really makes me to be a little bit happy that artists are pretending they are given an opportunity within the institution. Honourable Maphonto has raised the issue of the account. That should be the first question that I would really need. I'm interested in the details on the account that are in purple. Basically because we have an experience in the Free State of this account, not only in PECOF, in a lot of our, let me talk of Musical. Musical is a provincial-based arts and culture center there. We had a situation similar to this, where you get this account that you don't know who are the beneficiaries and how is the issue of the criteria is always the issue that will be questionable. Who are the people that are benefiting out of this account? Because this account, in my understanding, as a person who checked out in the province, while I was in the province, we find that most of them, they are in a way not transforming the apartheid agenda or whatever that was happening during apartheid era. They are still in a way promoting, because they will be supporting certain people, they will not be supporting other people. So I'm interested in knowing about the details of these accounts, all of them, in such a way that in the province we then went to court, approached court to repeal some of them, because that's the only thing that we survived. Some of them they were even getting, you'll find that there is money that is even coming to government that has to go to those accounts every time, but they do not benefit everybody who's supposed to benefit in the sector. So can we get the details of what is happening here? If really PECOS cannot do that, PECOS should approach court in order to deal with this. But even if there's a will, there is a court that can try to work around that. Instead of having this account every time accumulating, but when you look at the beneficiaries, our own previously disadvantaged artists, they still do not benefit out of this account. The second issue, Chair, will be on the issue of, I would really also want more details on the forensic investigation. Whether is it the forensic investigation that was instituted in 2015, if I remember very well, about the issue of capital waste, or there is another one. Because in my understanding, that one of 2015, we were told that we are waiting for the report, actually. We're supposed to have long had the report on that forensic investigation, if that's the one on the issue of the capital waste that was instituted in 2015. Chair, let me also come on what Honourable Maphonto has raised on the issue of the litigation. To be honest, Chair, we have been raising this every time when we visit the court on an oversight or when they come here, we always raise the issue of litigation. And here, and Dr. Isoliamo, there will always be in those meetings when we raise about it. But it's not moving. There is a litigation of Mr. Lisinyeo. I don't know how far it is now. But that process alone, I'm definitely sure where I'm sitting, Jake, has caused PECOS in an excess of 500,000. That one alone. I'm speaking under correction. Because if you remember, even when we were there, we were informed that they will change if one, this lawyer, would advise them or an advocate would advise them if this is not winnable. They will change and go to the next one, and then the next one will start the process. And remember, when they start the process, there's a lot of money that is going to be paid to the law firm that is dealing with that. So we need to get a report on the litigation. Because on the case of Mr. Senior, I know that at some stage he won the case. the case will always be taken to review. You want it even at the level of labor court, but because of the attitude of managers who felt that this person cannot be there, they went for the review. And what was worse, the advocate who is in the board, it's not assisting the board, actually he's raising the board down because he advised against it, even go to court or go to this whatever system is and testify as a board member against some of the workers. That's the experience that we are having, Chair, on the issue of the litigation. Yes, through the years, I think we were there in 2014 there when we started going to Capcoms. It was 2014 around December. Then at that time I think we are having about 10 or 15 litigations, but they went down drastically, they went, but there are those, I think those people that they feel we don't want to see them in purpose at all costs, then dread and dread and dread and dread and dread, and there's a lot of money that is being kept. I'm just citing one question, I think it's almost 8 or 9 years now, if it's not like that, it's, but it's older than that way in the New York case. It has been going on for a long time. It has been going on for a long time, and with that case only, it's costing a lot of money. And you can imagine, if we spend more on just the processes of the litigation, what if the person wins the case and has been out of employment for 5 years? Obviously, the settlement, you have to settle that person for that 5 years. You have to pay that person the salary or whatever that you have to pay for that period. This is really troubling when it comes to PECOS. That's one issue that needs to be that needs to get a serious report. Especially, like I said, I'm citing just one case that has been raised for a long time with the litigation in PECOS, and the person has won the case in almost all the platforms up until now. So I don't know what is happening now. I'm not so sure how far is the case now. But what I know, 3 months ago, I knew that the case was still not settled with the person. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Mashan?
Chair, thank you. I have, like I said, I've got quite a lot of things to raise. And I'm going to make a few comments, Chair. And I hope they will take note of the things that I've raised, because we'll be making certain recommendations. And that's the first one, and I know it's not my first matter that I wanted to deal with, but just take from what my colleague has just raised, the issue of litigation. Remember, Mullah will tell you that as they make your bike, litigate, you must have your Brook on the guitar. We will make a recommendation, Chair, as we conclude our process here, that we make a recommendation to Parliament that PACOF officials, senior management, and all the board to pay out of their pockets for the cases that they have lost against their staff. Because it's a deliberate act of undermining even the courts. When the courts take a particular decision, because it's not their money they are using, they go to court and litigate. Litigate for 3-5 years, exactly what Pentel was doing. And perhaps the chair of PACOS must spend some few minutes with the board of PENSA. CEO Tom Kong, no, it is good too. He's a board cum CEO. Because what PENSA is doing is really pulling themselves out of the morass that the board and the leadership of that entity called them into. I assume PACOS is actually going there and they will get there. And it's not easy getting out of the space. And Let me start with the, okay, let me go to the first matter that I think is confusing. We have a document that we have received from PENSA, I mean from you. When I say PENSA, I'll be saying PACOPS. When I say yes, because it's, they were in the same space. The other one is out, the other one is going deeper. There is this report that we got, it was distributed today, this one. We have this one that we had before. The two are not the same. We are supposed to be dealing with 2016-2017 period. This one is telling us about the things that are happening last weekend, over the weekend, whereas ours is supposed to be this one, which is a big, big problem. I don't know which document to follow and use. We do not allow such arrangements in this committee. The second matter is an advice, Chair. We must avoid being reckless in what we are saying. Both the chair and the CEO must be careful of the statements they are making in this public meeting. That the AG has finally risen from his slumber. It's a very dangerous statement. This entity you are talking about is a product of this law, the supreme law of their country. Their responsibility, the AG, is in support of the Constitution. If you have issues on them, you can't come and just make a blunt statement here without qualification. You have a right to approach the court and challenge the AG, but not in this portfolio. You are very reckless, and recklessness is a very expensive exercise. So they are sleeping in their slumber. Bringing a biblical quotation. You must be careful about such statements. I'm raising this matter because that's what gets entities of state into mud. Once we start to be reckless, that's how we get ourselves into trouble. That's what got PENSA into pizza. The Auditor General has raised a few issues. The fact that you've challenged them, I will actually go to their report and pull them out one by one. And I would want this delegation here to respond to those issues. Not the things that they were telling us. You have been found, you have received an adverse finding. And looks like you do not understand what it means. Unqualified, unqualified, qualified, adverse. And you are laughing about it. You say, yeah, now, we are very happy with adverse. I can't believe that I'm getting that from a person who's acting CEO. I mean, you're making a mockery of the process that we're involved in here. And it's a serious matter. And perhaps if you do not know, and I think you know, when you were qualified, when you got the two unqualified reports, you had, what do they call it other thing? Matter of emphasis. You had matters of emphasis in the outer year. You had the same matters of emphasis the following year. When you got your qualification, it was exactly the same matter that were emphasized lightly, and you ignore them, and now they were taken up to another level. And it is on the basis of those that you have an adverse. And the likelihood is that you may actually get the disclaimer. Because our attitude determines our attitude. And because we are now putting a question on the AG, we're actually going to ignore even their advice in their documents. That's what I can get from yourself. And I am basing this thing on what colleagues have already raised, and I'm not going to raise the things that they have raised. But two things just to, for yourselves to remember. Remember, we're talking about the 2014 year when we went there in December, in Parkhouse. 1st of December 2016. When we convened a committee, as a committee, when we went to Parkhouse on the 2nd of December 2016, on the 1st we got a letter, Chairperson got a letter, CC'd. A letter written by the chair of the board going to the minister of debt, informing the minister that the committee is coming here. The committee has invited other people who have been fired, others who are on suspension. The committee is interfering with the works of PACOS. Not understanding that we do not report to a minister. We do not report to a minister. The minister is not our boss. The minister is your boss, not our boss. We are not bossed by a minister. We are bossed by this document. When we go to your entity, we are applying the laws of the country. And when we come into your entity, you are not welcoming us into your space. We are actually welcoming you into that space that you are occupying, because in terms of the law, that precinct is declared paramount. It is the chair of this committee who is the boss in that state and that time. And those are the simple laws that apply. When we come to an entity, whether you will welcome us or not, it doesn't matter. We actually welcome you in the meeting, in the space. And that's how our interaction occurs. Well, I did not understand, I think the first matter, that letter says we are bringing people out not knowing that actually we can call anybody. We can even call a person that you don't fire and bring them back, because it is our meeting and we are carrying out our own responsibility. What I did not establish, you see, when we were there on the 2nd of December, maybe the 2nd or the 5th, I can't remember, we asked a specific question, because PACOPS had fired another CEO. And we did raise our hand and said, I mean, my phone was raised, you're not going to win this case. Actually, when the CEO went overstayed his term with a month, and you said, no, you were right, but indeed you were wrong. But you had fired an acting CEO. And my phone advised nicely. You know, he's a very cool man. He took his time and advised you, clause by clause, as to where you have messed up, and told you you're not going to win the case. And you haven't won the case. But then you brought another person, a nice fellow from a corporate private company, I suppose, if I'm not wrong. And we asked the person whether he was fit for duty. All of yourself said, yeah, now you find the person. You should have told us why that person left, because even in that meeting we put out a claim. We said, we don't see you winning this one. And then we have been proven right, but at the cost of the public, and at the cost of the public person. We raised the issue of, and why I'm on that matter, so that I don't forget this one, there, the guy cleverly. Department, you, now we were there, a very expensive comment. You say you are very happy because they have a surplus. You will take a cost in a surplus and you are very happy. The elephant auditors that are saying they cannot make sales out of what they have been presented because it does not correlate, it does not make sense. Actually, the auditor general raises the question of the going concern. Now, once the AG raises the issue of going concern, you must be very wise in this department. But if you come here representing the department and say you are very happy at least there for surplus. It's a contradiction in terms, because not everything has been disclosed to the Auditor General. You can have money, and that's not what means that organization is alive. It's a serious matter. So, but indeed, the colleagues have raised the issue of the labor, the non-availability of policies. And the two unions that you had recognized, and Marcondo had advised, there was one union that didn't qualify, but you recognized it as a former, I don't know, not in that labor space. I actually struggled to, I mean, to speak to those matters, Marcondo and my colleagues here, Rosalie, and Kulane, and Milan Kundo normally helps me out with that. But he raised a query that you recognize a group of, or an organization that had not met the required legal standing or status. But you continued business as usual. And through that arrangement, you had created tension, yourself and the board and the leadership of PACOPS in that entity. To an extent that some people who are in the management are actually members of, active members of the union, having a CEO or deputy CEO, whatever, CFO, whatever thing. Senior people buy part of the union. I mean, that is enough. But you say, no, hey, all systems go. Now, when you concluded the presentation, Mama O, you said there was a separate presentation that was going to be made. I waited for that separate presentation. It has not come. I don't know at what stage it was going to be made, because you did not qualify your separate presentation. I had thought that perhaps the acting CEO would be coming in, he will continue that matter. And it hasn't. Colleagues have already raised the issue, yeah, made by a casual. We raised that in 2014. We raised it in 2015. We raised it in 2016. And the board member, former board member, current CEO, could you only know about it now recently? We are very happy to discover this thing. I don't understand. So the board has actually not been doing its work. And this takes me to the next matter. You see, I have been trying to check in my document that I've missed something. I can't remember in your APP. I was trying to get hold of my APP, can't find it. And I wish someone could remind me, what was the planned amount of meetings of the board? Because my view is that the board, if they met 8 times, they're actually micromanaging that. I can't remember a board. I know a board would have something like one meeting per quarter. And this one has 2 meetings per quarter. It's actually tantamount to micromanaging. And the resultant effects would be very huge. Now, this takes me to the document. The MAET. Someone has woken from this slump. I'm going to go to page 14 of this document. It's your job. Page 14, administration. Your strategic objective was to promote an environment of efficiency and effectiveness. And you speak about the number of internal audits, audit committee meetings conducted. And you had planned 4. You actually achieved 1. And then the internal auditor not yet appointed, tender has closed on this date. Now, this is a failure to carry out your fiduciary responsibilities. You have failed to carry out your responsibility. So, poor Benny, what you have said you want to achieve, you failed to achieve. That's why you possess 60 things. Page 15. The second one actually. The second one, creating platforms for local artists to perform and become known. We are blend 9. You achieve 8. No. You think 9, you achieve 8. Now, when you talk about a deviation, you say there were not enough proposals received for community-based production. This answer raises, in my mind, there is something that is raising that there is some truth that is missing in your narrative. Because if there is only one, and you say there were not enough, and enough equals to the one, there is something you are not saying. But then takes me to the next one. To offer the theater complex a viable facility for events. You have planned 5, and then you achieved 13. And then you refer to what has caused that performance. Then you go to the next thing. Below that thing, you have numbers. And I could see, I remember when the CEO made the presentation here, he also drew a number. You've got those numbers, which obviously does not reconcile with the numbers that were presented there on your slide. But you have planned 25,000, you have a deficit of close of 900, planned 16,000, deficit of almost 5,000, planned 10,000, a deficit of 1.3, planned 125,000 the revenue, a deficit of 50% under performance. And then you are making a statement here that the reason for this is maybe. The number of audience declined possibly due to economic condition. Surely, when you are not certain, you are saying possibly, you can't make a report to ourselves and tell us about things that are possible, or that we're supposed, or that you think are. By now you should be knowing. Because you should be comparing it with something. You should have done an evaluation, you should have engaged a research, and do the establishment. You can't come and present a maybe. And that's why you will always get a disclaimer. Because you can't, maybe is never used, or possibly can't be used unless you can prove it scientifically. But there are things that I can speak to that would not encourage me to go to PACOPS. Simple things. And I raised some of those things when we were there in PACOPS. And I don't know whether you have done an improvement. The area was filthy. Extremely filthy. If you invite me to a filthy place, I'll go once. I may not spend the whole time, but I will never be encouraged to come back again. Now, if you will take film and then blame it on the economy, it will be something else. And I don't know where that thing was collected. Because it was not a tough time that the area was filthy. It was filthy in 2015, 2014, filthy in 2015, filled in 2016 December, at a period that is expected to be a peak period. You have dead there that you can see dead has got months. You know, now one more, open a more than 6 months old dead. And you expect people to be coming as patrons to that thing. You can't. But you set the targets. If you are unable to meet your targets, why do you set the targets? Isn't you subtracted? What does that mean? If you subtract them, it means you must go back to your strategic plan, say 5 years, and evaluate it, and present a new strategy that is achievable, because the things that you have here are not achievable. And that's why you have been warned this year about certain things by the AG, and you are surely heading for a disclaimer. And then you come back and say he has woken up to his, from his slumber. The next page, 16. Very first one. To develop technical skills for both PACOPS and non-PACOPS employees. You have planned 16, you achieved 1. Who will take you serious when you deny South African young staff an opportunity? Who will take you serious? The next one to the third one, you have planned 8 activities, number of mentorships, you achieved 0. And you are saying the first one, you said, the skill development committee has not identified individual individuals to register in short courses. Now, if you read this statement and you read the other statement I read earlier on, there are contradictions in terms. But the next one that you are referring to, achieve, I don't know what, obviously I achieved a 0. Although I don't know what this A stands for. I achieved A, the plan due to more students that we took in for an internship. I mean that, how to relate the two? If you have intention for intentions, it's not intentions. But if you have this activity, you're supposed to be doing it. So there's no planning, you live by accident. Whatever happens in that entity, it's actually happening difficult to enter. The last item on that page, same thing. You have planned 4, you achieved 1. It means 75% unachieved. Within that, 100% unachieved. And then you're going to say the employees are generally just woken up to promise love. When you have not delivered on what you have planned to do and failed to carry out. Page 18. Your partnership with me, because you did not have a budget. I mean. You planned it. And then Ulebo had a reality that, you know, and they have saved. No, they have money, but there's no budget. Contradiction. We have done that, you know, but they didn't money, but they do things to certain people with the same budget. And I don't know how many millions that it costs to have a relationship with me. Surely it does not. It takes just a few cups of coffee and the book sisters. And then you have your media partnership. Unless you buy the media to be part, but having been in that space for quite some time, it's a relationship that you build. And those are the cheapest relationships you can ever have. Those people are very easy going. Actually, they don't want to spend each your money because they know they might also expose your wrongdoing. Number of monthly external newspaper produced, planned 4, produced 0. There is no budget. But we have saved. activate certain sections of discipline. It has not happened. It has not happened. But it did. Rule 39, 40, and 41 of the PFMA also indicate as to what actions you should be taking, including reporting others to the police, others to transfer. Which things that will happen? Page 43. The accounting authority. That's what you were before you were a CEO, together with the chairperson, is responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of financial statements. It's your responsibility. Clause 20. In preparing the financial statement, the accounting authority is responsible for assessing the public entity's ability to continue the going concern. That those are the issues, and they need to be disclosed. Those are some of the things that the AGS raised, and those are some of the concerns that were raised here. I'm going to jump to page 46. Your procurement process is problematic, according to the AG. You have procured services about half a million without following the prescribed required procedure. You didn't get quotations. Contracts were extended. People that you gave services to, there is no clarity whether some of them are working for you or not, because you've not disclosed all those things. You incurred expenditure which was on methods that were not approved in your budget. And the AGS does work from this land. The issues of policies that were filed in 2014 and in 2017, which are now contained on page 47. All those things are areas of failure of PACOPS to carry out its responsibility. I can go on and on and on and on, but I just wanted to put things that are there. But what is said in the chair is that in their presentation, there is no plan to address these things. The department is going to be giving us just 60% and they don't go and tell us the magnitude of the problem. Because the presentation by the CEO should be telling us as to how they are going to address this thing and when. And that's why I have a problem with this thing, this document that you presented to us. From where I am, it doesn't make sense. Actually, I would have sold that thing out and said, give them 2 days to go and respond to this query that is in this document. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashangu. We're now going to give an opportunity to the department first to respond to the issue that has been raised, and then the entity, PACOPS, to respond. If you can do that.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and maybe to Honorable Mashangu. I think for me, I should have just indicated that the entity is beginning to generate on income, because then they've realized that, because they were always in the right. Because when you plan, you should be able to utilize your budget according to the plan that you've articulated. I should have just said that they are able to start generating an income on their own, because they managed to generate about 4 million as an entity. I think I should just indicate that. On the issues that were raised by Honorable Mohonti on the oversight role and the support that we'll be providing to the entity, I'm going to allow Dr. Kiso just to talk to those issues. But on the issue of the forensic investigation, to the honorable members, it is regarding the Capital Works forensic investigation that was instituted in 2015, and we've received the report
And we were saying, Honorable Masango, that the report, if the portfolio committee would allow us, we will come and share the report with the portfolio committee. And we can even do the presentation on that report. So I want to respond to the issue of the report that we, that's the forensic investigation. But on the issues of the unions, because the report is for 2016-17, the problems around unionization was still a big problem in the past financial year because of the problems where even management were part of the unions and they could not, you know, separate their responsibilities as union members and those of management, because now, you know, you are conflicted as a manager if you belong also to a union. So those were some of the issues, and I know that they were asked, the management committee, to resign, as that was the recommendation that was coming from the portfolio committee when we met, that they need to resign from their union activities. But I will allow Dr. Kiso just to talk to issues of oversight and the support that you provide you with our portfolio manager.
Thank you, DDG, and also to the portfolio committee. We do have oversight visits. We do oversight visits to our entities. Actually, for each entity, we do about 4 oversight visits in a year. We've done that because we've seen in the past that you focus in one entity, for example, then problems are managed in other entities. So we've tried to spread ourselves across all the 25 entities to ensure that each entity is actually given the necessary support and throughout the year. With the PACOPs, I think the problems that we're seeing here begin to, that we're speaking about now, are revealing of the problems, the internal problems that are confronting the institution itself. We all are aware of those problems. There isn't any willingness in the staff and in the management to address those issues, I think it's going to be very difficult for the portfolio committee and also ourselves to actually resolve those. And in some instances, it's going to require a very drastic sort of approach. It needs to be taken at times. I think we've done that with the State Theatre, where similar problems, we're confronted with the similar problems, where there's unrest and conflict within the institution to the extent where energies were actually diverted to that conflict, not the core mandate of the institution. And there was a decisive decision there where we said, let's close down State Theatre. State Theatre was closed down because there was just nothing happening there. All people were doing was fighting amongst themselves. And I think that's probably one of the areas that we're going to have to look into, because the portfolio committee is also indicating that they've been there since 2004. And they've again went there for a site visit. 2014, sorry. And they've been there again for a site visit, and those problems still persist. And it's the lack of will within the staff in PACOPs to change and to actually focus on the reason for being there. And I think that's an area that is really concerning, and I think it's something that we're probably going to have to raise that again with I'm going to speak to the DG, and we have to find a decision around PACOPs, which is going to be very radical. It requires a radical solution. And that's my view at this point. And I'm being honest on this one, because again, we will provide the necessary support, we meet with the management, we meet with the staff, we raise all these issues, we discuss them, and we even provide them with advice on how these things should be resolved.
But then if management and staff are not willing to actually address those issues, it becomes really problematic.
Chairperson, Dr. Tiso doesn't answer that. Chair, this is not for the first time. In this portfolio committee, you are raising what you are raising to the department. We can even not say only PECOS, but with other entities. The question is that the TAC said they are having a forum where they meet all the CEO of the entities. And I'm saying in that, it's where you do your monitoring and evaluation, SDAC. Didn't you see this 60% of non-achievement in PACOS? And if you see that, why didn't you babysit it? You cannot come here now and tell us that because we have got other entity, this one, the UN, the DG, must see what can happen. But you're not assisting us. Give us what did you done. Because you are there with them, you are there doing the monitoring and evaluation. Mine is only on that. As we are doing an oversight, and you cannot send the portfolio committee and you cannot do anything with these challenges. We want an implementation. Let us assist a young person that is up there wanting to come and perform an art. But when we say there's nothing that you can do, we are killing that young person. We are killing her or him. So we don't want to be part of that. But the department chair must come clearly to us. What are they doing with these challenges that we are raising? And these challenges are for 2014, 2015, every year, in fact, when PACOS come here. Honorable Bo, you are even going there weekly to see what is happening there. But I'm just saying, for you, you cannot just come here and say that there's nothing that the department can do. I saw the minister was going to come in here. This. Or maybe you must give us a plan that you had that has failed. Give us something that will be saying, indeed, yeah, the department has tried, these people, there's nothing that they want. Give us. You never give us something. You never even write to the chairperson or tell us that, no, the plan or the remedial action that I'm trying to do is happening. But you cannot just say that. Both you and I, like, there's nothing that you can do. No, don't include the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
This is why, as the portfolio committee, we've always said DG to the department. For us to be able to do our work, which is oversight, we need to give us concrete information. A concrete plan to say this is the plan and you give it time frame. It's only then that when you tell us a story, we are not going to be able to monitor its own a story. We can only monitor a plan that has time frame, that has output. So, if you say, I've been telling the people this, that, and that, we don't know that. We don't know it. And you can't measure it. We can't monitor it. There's nothing we can do about it. And you are making our work very difficult. It's important for the department to understand this. And we've always said that the department is the mother of entities because you give money to the entities, you transfer money to the entities. So it's your business to know what is happening in those entities. And in most cases, it's when we go there as the person. Ours is an oversight function. We don't implement. We oversee. You are the people who are supposed to be implementing. You're making our job very difficult. Honorable
thank you, Chair. I want to say a lot, but I just received this document as I was thinking. But I just want to ask
current CEO says there is lack of proper planning as it relates to coffee. Now, what are we monitoring and evaluating if there is no plan as it relates to coffee? I think some of the problems arise even from there, because if there is no plan as it relates to coffee, then we are in big trouble, because I don't know what those who are evaluating and monitoring, which plan are they monitoring and evaluating. So I just think that was a real indictment on this entity, that there is no plan. So the problems will arise if there is no plan. And you can see the managers are meeting 8 times a year, almost the same amount as the council. Managers should be managing the meeting. It looks like they are meeting just before maybe the council meeting. And, you know, they say they have problems here. And that's why you have 94% of the budget going to 40% of the budget. So I just think there's a fundamental problem even in the details are fine, and I will use them, but if there is no plan, everything else falls apart. But also maybe what another promoter was saying, if there is no leader in the institution, then who's going to be planning and putting that? So I think there are fundamental things that need to be as well as dealing with the financial issue.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. And until the department takes its role seriously, until the department takes its role seriously, things will remain the same.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think the main problem that comes from the audit is on performance information, because they've got an APP, but they were never able to deliver on the APP, like the training, the mentoring, and so forth. So those are the areas that the, because there was no artistic director for a long time until appointed late in the last financial year. So we have to look at the programming of the so that the entity can then focus on its core mandate. But the other issues are on supply chain management and also on finance. That's where there's a problem. And they have not had a CFO for a long time until the CFO was appointed. So the CFO, what we need to do is to assist the CFO to develop an audit action management plan, so that all those issues that are raised by the Auditor General, there is a plan to address them. You know, the issues around irregularity, because there's no way that you can procure without getting three quotations. And you cannot break down a thing that's supposed to be a tender. You know, those irregularities around procurement. So what we need to do is to assist the entity to develop an audit action management plan, so that then we can monitor whether the entity is able to achieve all its deliverables. So we cannot just say, because the main problem at PACOPS was the leadership vacuum. CEO, and I think the way we appoint the CEO, we need, because DAC came at the last minute when we had to do the interviews. But we said to PACOPS, we need to take leadership. We need to make sure that there is screening of the candidate before appointment, that we sit also in the selection, so that we don't come at the tail end when we have to interview, because we need to look at all, like Honorable Melda was saying, there were candidates that were suitable but were not shortlisted, so that we are involved from the shortlisting from the beginning until the end of the recruitment process. Then so we ask the entity to hold back on the appointment of the CEO, so that DAC can be less active role, so that we get a suitable candidate. Because the person, even if you
that one in the interview still need to go through a competency assessment, like all senior managers in government, through a competency assessment by an independent company. So we need to do that. So there's been those challenges around the, they did not have a CFO, they did not have an HR executive manager, they now it's the CEO. So those are the things. If you can start that at the top and then focus and then be able then to say this is what we put in the plan and these are the supporting resources that we have, so that we could be able then to make sure that the entity really turns around change. I think we cannot just fold our hands and not do anything.
Have you engaged with Parkhoff on this annual report? On as we are doing now, have you done this with Parkhoff? And if not, why?
Okay, what we do, we receive the annual reports and we assess them. And once we've assessed the annual reports, then we go back to the NGC and say, this is what needs to happen after that. Yeah. I think the challenge is that these annual reports, when we receive them at different periods, other facilities, we had a lot of challenges. So we want to have a concrete action plan that we will share with at the next CEO forum and the other forums.
But I think what I'm asking is that, as it was said many a time, if you don't plan, you're planning anyway, because you're planning to fail. You need to have, as the portfolio committee, we need to understand, when did you receive Parkhoff? When did, you know, you have a table that's showing when you received this report, and you need to act immediately. Because by the time you act, we are far down the next financial year. And things that were happening in the previous financial year are already happening in this financial year that are going to lead to the same disclaimer that we have this year. So I think it's important for us to plan in such a way that we are able to, immediately we receive something like this, we sit down, we look at it, and we engage with the entity. Otherwise, we will keep on getting this this outcome from Auditor General. Can we continue to respond to the issues that are raised by members?
Are you there?
But I think departments, many issues that are raised here by members are issues that in your oversight you should be able to respond to. If you are not responding to these issues that are raised here, it's showing us as the portfolio committee that you don't have your thumb on the nail of the entity. If you are outsourcing most of these questions to the entity, it means that you don't have your thumb on the pulse of the entity. If you can outsource, you can outsource to the chairman. Is that a thing?
Honourable Member. Thank you, Madam Chair. Honourable Member, with all due respect, please allow me to maintain my stance about the AG. And I maintain this stance based on my findings and experience in my last 15 months serving as a council member at Parkhoff, as well as the National Museum. Allow me to use analogy, and I think Honourable Member Flamingo will appreciate this analogy. When a patient, a lot of patients who have hypertension, and the doctor will choose to pump them up with medication without actually understanding the cause of this hypertension. And eventually, the patient's kidney collapses and suffers kidney failure. Simply because...
Can you hold on? Thanks.
The check is an item. The check must address all members of the committee. The first time that I'm not going to understand.
No, I was just talking about the analogy and how I appreciate this particular analogy on the medical issue. Yes, pardon me. As I was saying, when the doctor will provide the patient with constant medication, we start actually understanding the cause of this hypertension. And the consequent result is kidney failure. And this patient will need dialysis, and the absence of it will cause eventual death. And the same thing happens here in Dacos. The same AG, not only the same AG, but also the particular individual, the head of AG, who has been doing the work for the last few years, has been the same person. And just the two first two adverse opinions, unqualified, unqualified, qualified. And suddenly, by sheer fluke, or something has happened with what they have learned or the methodology, the same issue, no changes, they suddenly become a threat. What do we call that?
I think a point was made here that you should have challenged this matter outside the portfolio committee, because here we cannot allow you to come and challenge, because there's nothing we can do about this. We take this as authentic, AG's report, we take it as authentic, and you are supposed to have it reviewed outside this platform. And if you're going to come and tell it, the AG is not here, you know? So maybe it would have been better if we had AG. And these meetings are public meetings. As we speak, there are people looking at channels, whatever, watching the proceedings of this meeting. And you challenge another institution in its absence, then they cannot explain why they have given you this. So I think it's important for us to be aware of the fact that we can't allow that thing to happen. If you have issues with them, raise them in a relevant platform, not in a portfolio committee meeting. Honorable Tuleti and Honorable Lamini.
I think, Chair, you are correct, because in my understanding, AG do call them to sit down with them, discuss the letters even before the report is released. So where I'm sitting, I will assume that whatever that they are raising now, they should have raised them in that platform where they are given an opportunity by the AG to sit down and talk about those issues, Chair. Because it's not correct, like Honorable JL has said, to raise it here in the portfolio committee, the manner they raise it. I think we really need to close the day. So that's how it is. We cannot allow that. JL even explained very correctly that AG, the Chapter 9 institution, Jengabo Banamo, the institution that comes from the constitution. So, let's really try to manage the situation. It can't be correct, change to keep on disputing that. They've got a platform for the change.
Honorable Flamini Suma, Honorable Chair.
Yes, I just wanted to check with the chair. If she said that last year, the previous year, there was a qualified on the same issue, and then this time they are addressed. Why were these issues still there? Why were they not corrected when there were a qualification? Because we can't, like, both say it was the same issue, but what did we do about them ourselves before they now become addressed? Because it, to me, it indicates that nothing was done correct them, maybe even things went west, and now they've become unless we can say that they corrected those issues that were a qualification, and then, but having corrected now them, now it's unfair, then it wouldn't make sense. But if there was a qualification, nothing was done to correct them, and maybe things even got worse from what we can see, then obviously the next. So I would rather
Honourable Member. Honourable Mahla.
Chair, I'm going to request that they give us their nation letter so that we can respond to the chair.
There is that proposal that you give, the management letter, and maybe if you can just respond to what the Honourable Lamine Zuma is asking. You're saying that these were the findings, but I don't want us to go to a space where we play the blame game. We say they should not have done this, AG should not have done that, but if you can just explain. You had this were raised by the AG, and this is what you did. Did you do something about those issues that were raised, or did you not? But at the end, we would like to receive the management letter so that we look at it after the meeting.
You see, that's the person who was going to help us out. Oh, he or she. Yes. Because that's the person who is seized with the challenges that we have. Because PACOPS has regressed on financial management. And I did raise those things that the AG has raised, but I thought the CFO, if the CFO was here, or she, that person would have helped us out of this issue. But I think the issue that colleague Jamini Zuma is raising is correct. And that's what I've been saying, that when you get a qualification, they tell you, take care, there's a method here. You don't do nothing. They are very union qualification, and then they qualify you, and they disclaim you. And that's why, I mean, they address you, and you are likely to end up with a skip. You see, that gentleman sitting there at the back, he came late, but he dealt with the issues that have been recurring. He dealt with it decisively, and that's why I said, it would be good that you meet with him, so that he can tell you whether he folded his hands and scorned at the AG, or he went down and dealt with it. Because there's no way you can get out. You can't be the only, you are the worst of organization. It's all of the 27. And since you are the worst, someone is coming close and has to buy tuna. You see them and theater. Yeah. Theater? Yes. The things that you are reading, they are the two. And they are adverse because of persistent things they have not attended to. Did their heads in sand. Madam, this is management. It's not patience. Management. Wouldn't understand it to my patient to father whatever, to do whatever. We get sick, we get overdosed with those things, and for good and bad reasons. But here, it's management. And we don't manage with amalapilis and all those things. This is our pilis.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can we get the responses?
Honourable Member, thank you, Madam Chair. I had not completed my statement. Actually, I was getting to a point I was going to say, and I think I said this earlier in the introduction, that we actually welcome the interrogation and the reading of AG, which will assist PACOP in the path of self-correction. The methodology that was applied has been very, very useful to really dig deeper into issues. And going back to the issue of leadership, Madam Chair, Honourable Member, as to why these issues have not been addressed, and they have been following us year in, year out, some of them have been arrested by the process of suspension of CEOs and the forensic investigation.
and Capital Works, and money has just been for you year after year in. And we trust that the committees that were in the process of concluding several issues. And honourable member, on the issue of the regular expenditures, what is it that has been done? Actually, two of the members have been suspended, the 40 million, because of the irregular expenditure on that was addressed here. And on other matters, management is dealing with them and will serve at the next council meeting. The issue of leadership indeed is a challenge. And I'm the first one to admit that the appointment of the previous CEO could have been done with more caution. The vetting of the CEO was not sufficient. It was not as sufficient as the vetting of the CFO and the artistic director were. And he's a good man coming from the corporate, but he did not have the required skills to be able to perform accordingly in this institution. And this is why we have a probationary period that allows members to sit, that allows management, top leadership, to serve. And when they're unable to meet their expectations, they engage with this council to address this particular issue, to say this is really a challenging matter for you. What would you like to do about it? How do we assist you? And that's hence submitted tenders to the resignation, because he truly could not manage the code. And yes, it was quite difficult for him to deal with the challenges of employees and the difference of unions, which I think we have are bringing some stability in that fault. The issue of the CFO has been on the biggest issue, causes of the AG findings. It has been a challenge to run an institution without a competent, capable CFO who understands the PFMA and a full understanding of the public sector. And I think we're grateful that finally in February we managed to appoint a CFO who knows what she is doing. And if I may be allowed to say this, part of the reason of this challenge was, we talked about education. We've had, I think in the last 15 months when we started, some of us, we asked on issues of education, that indeed, why do we disrespect the institutions that have been set up to serve us as the CCMA? When the CCMA has awarded and said, dream big, what are the process in respect? Why do we, and I speak to my predecessors, this constant arrogance of undermining the law and the processes and just being vengeful and malicious cannot help the civil service in any way. And we took it upon ourselves as council to ensure that we are going to address the issue of education. And today I can stand here happily to say we have moved in the last 15 months from 8 to 3 matters. And the one is actually had gone to Labour Court. Honourable member had raised it of Mr. Desinyeho. He's actually coming back to work. Because we were in the wrong. This matter is as old as 2011 or 2012 or whatever it was. It made no sense. It was incorrect to do what had happened. And I take a blame as part of council. Yes, it happened many years ago, but yes, council was very much involved in the wrong in this particular matter. We have other two cases. We suspended the CEO where we see all this 2014 thing that has come to haunt us today. This matter is serious. This matter is pretty much in the forensic audit report. And then we have the issue of Mr. Salmani, which has not really served the institution in the last many, many years. And the issue of Mr. Salmani is very difficult, simply because he's involved with everybody. He will call the DEC, he will call members of the portfolio committees, he's involved. We cannot move. You know, he is supposed to be a CFO when he was never appointed a CFO. The man was appointed as a financial manager. That he became an acting CFO was because the institution had no leadership. That he became an acting CEO was because the institution had no leadership. I was the first one who actually, when we spoke to the team, we said, look, he's complaining about his acting allowance. Let's be fair. Let's allow the man to get a fair process and understand that he needs to be paid what is due to him in terms of his acting allowances for whatever many years
the appointments were erroneous, the process was not followed, but that is neither here nor there. The institution enjoyed his service as an acting CFO, as an acting CEO, and we had to respect that, and we tried to address that. We left the calculation to HR and to whoever that's supposed to be doing the calculation. They came up with the figures, we should approve. He was not happy with it and went to the CCMA. What was in his right to do that? The CCMA did the recalculation and found that we had erred in the amount that was awarded to him. The first thing we wanted, in fact, in between the award, we had actually invited him to consider coming to work back as a financial manager, because we understood that he was in distress. We invited him back, and he said no, he's not going to take the job, because he's supposed to be appointed as a CFO. It's like, dude, please explain to us. You get an award as a CFO, as an acting allowance as a CFO and an acting allowance as a CEO. How do we then appoint you as a CFO when there was not even any asset or anything like that? So these are some of the processes which have really arrested the progress of the institution. Yes, we have employees who have been there for a long time, most of them without qualifications. And we can't turn around and say people must go away. We can't do that. We're trying what we can to ensure that skills, to push them to a level where the reporting of the annual report looks decent and does not say we could not mentor, we could not do skills development, we couldn't do this. These are the challenges which have been, and I'd like to think that the collective has been doing their best to try and address these challenges. So these in a nutshell are some of the little things that have caused this day. And yes, we don't want to sing songs of excuses. It's very displeasing to do that for anybody, and actually very disrespectful to yourself and also to us. We don't want that. But we're actually also asking all of us to assist in the process by not interfering when we shouldn't interfere on matters of purpose that make it difficult for work to happen. That's all we're asking. I'm going to ask the interim CEO to address other issues.
Is a statement of interference. Now, I don't know what it means, and I think we can't leave that thing unpacked. The chair should actually indicate, referring to us interfering, that must be explained. If you think, and because there is that notion that people think we interfere, no, we turn our way. Ours is oversight. And I think if it has been oversight, no, we'll do it every day. If you can come and park in parcels. We are not interfering, we're doing our job. Our job is cut out for us. So as long as you ask questions that are here, that are in this document, we are doing our work. And if we think in certain instances that we want to advise you about what we think you are doing wrong, as my specialist of our good specialist on labor would do, and actually many times I've given advice, they have been on top of their issues because they are specialists. But if that is viewed as interference, surely it is unfortunate we continue to interfere if that's what the chair is talking about. But it has not been qualified. That's a statement told without any qualification.
And I think last week in our meeting, on Tuesday last week, we explained this thing of entities saying that as the portfolio committee we are interfering. And I had to read for the entities that were in the meeting, actually reading from the book, what oversight is all about, what it means, how it is cut out for us as members of parliament, so that people don't even think that as the portfolio committee we are interfering. It's a pity that they have. In fact, this is what we said, DG, that in your induction of entities, right, that's what we list off. In your Martina, you couldn't know why are we here as the portfolio committee? Because there are entities who think that
when we ask questions, when we do our work, we are interfering. In your induction, make sure that, can you give them the thing that I was waiting last week for the department in their induction to include the work of the portfolio committee? And when a person from an entity speaks to us, we are not interfering. They have, everybody has a right. You can speak to us. Anybody can speak to the portfolio committee. They have a right. We are public representatives in the first place. So, please, and when people talk to us, don't victimize them and say, because you said this to the portfolio committee, we're going to deal with you. Because that's the attitude that's there in the entity. And last week, we said it clearly that we will not accept that. We take exception to entities dealing with people who have spoken to the portfolio committee. It's totally, totally unacceptable. Do the right thing every day and you'll sleep nicely. But if you do the wrong thing, you look around you, who's talking to who, and then you'll be afraid. You'll be scared because you are not doing the right thing. But when you're doing the right thing, why should you be scared of a person from an entity talking to me? But I think the chairperson should really explain to us who is interfering, so that if she thinks as the portfolio committee we are interfering, she can say now so that we can explain to her what our work entails.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Apologies that I acknowledge. Fund my explanation on the issue of interference. May I also say that my master's paper, my research was on parliamentary oversight work, which I respect and uphold. I was referring to the interference that is all over the show at provincial level, and when we are present in terms of executing another task, that would be telling us that we've received a letter raging about it. And, a whole lot of name dropping that come randomly from all over the show, which really don't make sense. And it's quite unfortunate that these things do happen. And they tend to delay processes unnecessarily. And again, as I say, it's no excuse for some of the work that has not been done due to absence and spectrum of leadership that part of the experience in the past. The past few years. And if I may also answer on the issue of the trust, which I don't think we addressed. The old account was published for artistic purposes. And in May, council resolved that the artistic unit must come up with a plan so that these monies can be used. And I think other council member also asked about the 2 million. What was the question? Yes, that 2 million surplus was used for operations in 2014, but it was just also part of the audit action plan of the drilling and self-correcting that is taking place. That is an emergency. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You can?
Yeah, no, thanks, Chairperson. I think some of the questions, most of them, are integral to really. The honourable member was outside when the issue of Mr. Nyeho was addressed. He has been reinstated, and we are just in the process of negotiating what is due to him. And before the end of this month, we expect him back at work. That is what we are doing right now. And then the honourable member was also asking about the HR policies, or we suggest that we don't have HR. We do have HR policies within the institution. The problem is that because of that lack of leadership, these policies have not been adhered to. And we also didn't have HR manager for a long time.
And one of the things that we have done in the recent past was to appoint a HR manager. Now we have a HR manager. When you don't have a HR manager, people at work take chances as well. They are not adhering to these policies, amongst other things, but people were taking leave willingly at Parkhouse, and we have now dealt with that issue. We also established that some of people in management, which is very senior, we find that some of them are students full-time. And all of these things were happening simply because there was this vacuum that we were talking to. We are addressing all of those challenges. You also asked a question about how much have we spent in terms of litigation cases and issues with CMA. Just in this current financial year, we have spent more than 955,000 between October and now. 955,000. Yeah, just under a million, which is a lot of money. And the chairperson is correct that some of these cases were really vengeful. If certain people at a high level don't like a certain manager, they just decide to suspend without really concrete reasons. And this relates to the case, for instance, of Mr. Senior. The issue of the donations. Most of the accounts which were established, that the Honourable Member was asking about, like I said, they were established prior to 1994. Those that we have been able to find the legal advice to follow what you are suggesting, we have done so, and we have indeed liquidated them and used those resources towards the art promotion and art development. And we are only left with the ones that are cited in our report. We are continuing to engage to get the right one. A little bit of complication when it comes to them, because there was a specific decision in terms of the people who equipped them. Like you say, that they wanted those monies to be used for a particular community. Hence, we got now to get a right legal advice as to how can we go around. I think those are the only matters that were not handled. We are going to be having a strategic planning session before the end of this month, October, where we want to have a relook in our strategic plan of the organization. And we are doing so purely because of some of the valid reasons that are being raised here, because we have seen the gaps. We have seen the challenges, and we think that unless we sit down and plan, we will not be able to address the problem holistically. On the issue of the unions, yes, indeed, we have two unions, Nehau and Salisu. And Salisu, I think, is the one that you are referring to. It has now a recognition certificate, and it is a union that has the majority of members from the staff of PAPUS. That is the reality. And you are also correct, Honourable Member, and it also concerns us that some of the people at a senior level are members of unions. And we are investigating this matter because it makes it very difficult when you have a meeting with management, which is not different to a meeting with a union. So basically, the same meeting, they've got the same outcome. So we are dealing with that. It's one of the things that we have it as an item in our agenda for the strategic session as to how we're going to deal with it. And we're also getting a legal advice in terms of that. We have had an opportunity to speak to the staff of PAPUS and indicate the situation that if this organization was a private entity, it would have been liquidated. But because it's a public entity, we sat down with them and explained that we need to start doing things differently. And we need to realize that if we don't change, then the institution may be closed down. We have made that clear. And I had an opportunity just in the 3 weeks that I'm there to meet with each and every department or division within PAPUS and address each and every manager. And in certain cases, we still have people acting. We have not filled all the posts But one of the mandates that have been given is to ensure, for instance, marketing, that there's been an acting person there for many, many months and months. IT, same case. So you can imagine that the information, if IT is being spearheaded by a junior person, the information is at risk, and you are correct on the risk management issues and purpose. They are there, and we are coming up with plans to turn a corner there. And that's all I want to say now. Thank you so much.
There was a question on your organizational structure. Do you have an organizational structure?
Madam Chair, yes, we do, and this has been posted, and we are trying to fill in all the basic folks accordingly. Mindful of the challenges you've raised about the permanent employees who've been there that they're trying to upskill to fit in the post so that nobody loses their job. However, the issue of their qualifications and their grading has been a challenge. And I think they've just appointed a company that's going to assist with the grading and the job creation and realignment in terms of fitting them into the organizational structure that has been posted and approved by council.
In your board, do you have subcommittees? So the 8 meetings that you have include subcommittee meetings?
I think the extension of those meetings also included special council meetings which had to do with the appointments of the CEO, the forensic report, the budget and all that. So it's not just regular meetings.
But you do realize why the portfolio committee is asking the question of having those 8 meetings while the there is underachievement. Because if you're having those meetings, you need to see it coming and to intervene and to ensure that the targets that you set yourself, because the targets are set by you and you are the one who have to achieve the targets. And if you don't achieve targets that you yourself have set for yourself, then it means you don't know what you're doing.
The biggest challenge, the core business of SACOP, as you know, is statistics management and the absence of an artistic director until February expanded the vacuum that we see in terms of the additional underachievement in the province. And the strategic workshop that the interim CEO has spoken about, which will take place on the 16th, basically to ensure that the APP that we submitted to DEC will be better informed to ensure that the targets that are achievable in the region.
Are there any follow-up questions? Did you?
Chair, Honourable Chair and other members, I think you have raised a question about the role of the demand on this matter. I think when we analyze it, was clear that, as you put it correctly, that this is a situation that is dire and requires urgent intervention. And when I discussed with the team, it was clear that we need an urgent intervention, not simply in terms of visiting, because meetings are not a result. Meetings are not business. So the idea is that we will not ideas, because I know you said you don't measure ideas, but to have a proper concrete intervention and on priority of these entities, because ministers in the directive was exactly about functionality of these entities that we must be able to deal with them in the department. And it is quite regrettable. 60% underperformance is quite shocking. But also issues of governance, and issues of management strategy, as well as just clearly we have identified that there are weaknesses in this area. And we will check leaving from here and get with the entity in dealing with all the and have a concrete turnaround plan. areas that have been identified by the AG first and Audit Action Plan, but also in terms of organizational turnaround that clearly requires urgent attention, which I want to make that statement.
Thank you, PG. And I think if I were you, I wouldn't be sleeping at night when you have about four entities under forensic investigation. Entities that are being given funds by your department under forensic investigation. That's serious. Very. And I think the department has to wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. Because this is not acceptable. This is taxpayers' money that is being wasted by the entity. So check up your monitoring and support for the entity. Because as the portfolio committee, we make it clear that Tina, we support where we can. We advise where we can. Ours is an oversight mandate. Tina, but the members take a step further and advise and support. But if you don't recognize that, then I don't know what you want to do. But with those words, we want to step off from PAPOS. Operation.
Just one correction. It's Honorable Masango, it's the TSOG instead of the State Theatre. I think the State Theatre is moved to a qualification, yes.
So it means that and as the portfolio committee we identify this long before things happen. We have a fine eye that actually sees things before it happens. We warn the department. That in PECOF, you have another tender. This is how we put it, didn't we? In PECOF, you have another tender coming. Now, if you can, in 2014, this is what you said, in 2017, it is happening. So before we step off the chat, I'd like to say something.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say that, first of all, I say thank you very much. That with the assistance of DEC and the appointment of the executive, especially in the CFO and the artistic director while we're awaiting the CFO, I would strongly like to believe that in the coming year we'll be marching towards a qualified opinion and the subsequent year towards the PMOST. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, who are stepping off this subject and you are invited to lunch. We coming, it's 10 past now, 10 past 1. Can you come back at 1:30? So that we deal with the two other entities that are with us. Can we allow honorable members to take their lunch and then after them we can help ourselves? Honorable members, can we step off this one? Let's come back at 1:30. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Melody.